Is this working? Okay, this might be working.
Welcome.
Chapter 20.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
well, last time we left off at Yurchas.
So what, you did two more prepping?
Well, no, because the next we just aren't that exciting, and we have in total two classes, so you might as well get good ones in. So that's the thought here, and in fact, I told Rabbi Schnall he'll be taking over from where I'm leaving off.
Okay.
That's it. We're working together, one and all. So let's for those of you who don't remember from last year, we're going to fill you in a little bit on what you might have missed while Rachel tries to find the page.
Sorry.
Right.
I'm almost there.
So the story is as follows, that we started off probably two summers ago already in the story of David and Bathsheba. David is the king of Israel, and I'm sure most of you are somewhat familiar with the story of Bathsheba.
I can't quite understand. I can read it, but I can't understand it.
So David sins with Bathsheba, and he receives a four-pronged punishment as part of his penitence, shall we say, for that which he did wrong. And part of it, the last part of it, was his son Avshalom rebels against him. And his son is quite successful in his rebellion. He runs David out of Yerushalayim. Avshalom, for a matter of 6 months or so, is the king of Israel. Eventually, David makes his comeback, and against David's wishes, Avshalom is killed. And along the way, the other piece of information that should be noted is that Avshalom slept with his father's concubines. And here we are now. We are now repairing what had happened. Basically, the tribes of Israel, by and large, broke away from David. He was only supported largely by his own tribe, that being the tribe of Yehuda. And now, for the last parak or two or three, he's been trying to put it all back together again. It was all going well until the beginning of this parak. And it says as follows: V'sham Nikra Ish Beriyahu Shmo Sheva Ben Bichri Ish Yemini. Vayiska b'shof ha'yom ha'emvanu cherek b'david ro nacharon b'ven yishai ish lo'ol ha'lov Yisrael. And there was a man who was a nasty fellow, and his name was Sheva the son of Bichri. He was an ishimini, meaning that he was part of the Shevet Binyamin. It's interesting, because Binyamin, on the one hand, has always had very close relationships with Yehuda. By and large, they are
Excuse
neighbors.
Me, where are you? Because you're not a 20.
I'm a 20. I'm in Samuel 2.
I'm in the wrong Samuel. Sorry. My fault.
Okay, that's fine. That was Patty. Everybody knows.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, even though that Binyamin, and we know that Binyamin and Yehuda were neighbors, how do we know that? Because they shared a very important place, and that was the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was half in Binyamin and half in Yehuda. Therefore, they have to be right next to each other, unless that really went to work. The Beis HaMikdash is a lot like Kansas City. Half in Missouri, half in Kansas, same idea. So even though they're right next to each other, still the rebellion comes out of Binyamin, which on a certain level is surprising. Out of this level, not. Because if you remember, before David was the king, who was the king?
Shaul.
And Shaul was from Binyamin. So Binyamin was still smarting a little bit. They thought that they had the right to the kingdom. And therefore, one of their own decides, gets up and says, we have nothing to do with the son of Yishai. Everybody, go on your merry way. Vayal kol ish Yisrael me'acharei David, acharei Sheva ben Bichri, v'ish Yehuda davku b'malkom, u'min ha'yardin v'ad Yerushalayim. And with that, everybody followed him, with the exception of Sheva Yehuda, once again, stuck with David HaMelech. Who was this guy Sheva ben Bichri? So if you look at the source sheet, the Gemara discusses, he, in fact, goes by other names, Ben Nevat. So Yeravam Ben Nevat is eventually the person who's going to split the kingdom into two. He's the person who rebels against Shlomo's son successfully. Why is he called that? Shenivet v'lo ra'a. Tana hu Nevat hu Micha hu Sheva Ben Bichri. In fact, Nevat, the father of Yeravam, is the same person as Micha. Micha is the person who's best known for Pesel Micha. He was involved in bringing idolatry to Israel. Not a good guy, once again. And he's also Sheva ben Bichri. It's all the same person. Why is he called these different names? The Gemara tells us. And the Gemara in the Medrash tells us as well, he was a very bad fellow. He was Oved Azvar Zari. He was an idol worshiper. We don't like this guy one bit, as we see in several cases. Okay, so there is another rebellion. What's David's reaction? So at first he just ignores it. So He's really had enough rebellions for now, so he's just going to move on. Vayavo David al beiso Yerushalayim, vayikach ha-melech, es eser noshem ha-pilak shim asher hiniach lushmor ha-bayis, vayitneim beis mishmeresh vayichalkeim, v'leim rova, v'atiyenu tsruros ad yom osav almonos chayos. The next thing he has to do is he's cleaning up still from the Avshalom debacle. So what about these women who were his concubines that his son had slept with? So he continues to provide for them, he feeds them, he takes care of all their needs. However, he no longer lives with them. And for a certain extent, they are considered living widows. Why? Because they don't have a husband, because he's not living with them anymore. On the other hand, they can't marry anybody else. So they're kind of stuck in between.
And they can't marry anyone else because they've been with the king.
Right. So the Yerushalmi discusses this. If you look at the fourth, why did he take this approach? Why didn't he continue to live with them? Why did he find this necessary? So the Yerushalmi says, "Vatiyan tsuros ad yom osom amonos chayos." Rav Yuda bar Pazi b'shem Rav Yochanan Ram ishoye David mekaras mekashos machnisim lefanov kol yom. V'omor yitzar yitzar hara. Tavos of davar ha'israch lachayech hashanim esavicha davar mutarach. So what happened, he said, the reason that he did this was as part of his own personal penitence. What got him into all this trouble? That he had relations with Bathsheba. He should have never done that. He said, because you, my evil inclination, you got the better of me, and you have had me be with somebody who I wasn't allowed to, now I'm sticking it to you, you're not even going to get what's allowed to us. So this is not that he technically had to do this. He could have remained living to them, but this was a personal decision he made.
But who's sticking it to who? It sounds like he's sticking it to himself.
Right. It's between him and his evil inclination.
Uh-huh.
He's sticking it to the Eitz of Hora.
Right. Oh, it's a good question.
What are you saying?
About the girl.
Right.
Right.
You know,
it's sticking it to themselves. It's very nice that he wants to be so religious about
right.
it. But at whose expense?
Right, because some of them are young women. They're not so old.
Okay. And even if they were old, it wouldn't be so nice. So there's a second opinion. The rabbis of Caesarea said that no, in fact, he wasn't allowed to be with them. He says that once that somebody sleeps with the king's wife, at that point the king's not allowed to sleep with her anymore, once she's been with a non-king.
If you weren't a king, can you sleep with someone your wife slept with?
If your wife was raped, yes.
Well, that's the other question that I had. Did these women have refusability to
right,
shalom
so,
or
so
not?
No.
I mean,
so again, we are willing to consider this a rape. We're willing to say that, you know, this wasn't, they were no way party to this.
Right.
But still, because he was the king, well, it comes up in other cases as well. Or if a woman, unfortunately, gets raped, so in general, the husband can remain living with her unless he's a kohen. Mm-hmm. If he's a kohen, so again, this will be similar to that. So again, two opinions in the Rishalmi. Either this was his own decision, and if that's the case, Sam asks a very good question. However, on the other hand, if this...
But the wife of a kohen could remarry, yes?
Right, a non-kohen.
Yeah, a non-kohen, right.
So on the other hand, if you say that because he was a king, this was a special rule, so then it's more understandable. The Shulchan Aruch discusses this practically and says as follows: Hagad, the Rambam says, "Im eino rotzel lisa acheres rotzel lishros imzo al yedei shlish b'shana achas oyech esla ela be'edim ein sochi garsha choshim zin satachtin v'yisalei the sharichay gavna." So there's certain times when a man has to divorce his wife. Now the question is, what does it mean he has to divorce his wife? Does it mean that literally he has to give her a get? Or no, they just can't live together anymore. Let's say he decides, okay, we're not going to live together anymore, but I don't want to divorce her. Yeah, so I want to remain married. Like, let's say she was unfaithful to him. So they can't remain married anymore. Do they have to get divorced? So the Shulchan Aruch says that technically no. If he wants to remain with her, assuming that it's a situation where they won't fall into something, and he points out that if he cheated on her, there's a pretty good chance he won't be interested anymore. So in a case like that, this is an option, the Shulchan Aruch says. You're allowed to opt to remain married, even though you can't live together anymore. So again, in this case, once she was with the wives with the kings, if you say that halachically, they're not allowed to be together anymore, so he should divorce her. On the other hand, that would stick them in a worse situation, because they wouldn't be able to marry anybody else. So again, if you look at it that way, he's actually doing
to provide for them.
Right. So therefore, by remaining married to them, he's of course taking care of them as best as possible. One more thing worth looking at regarding this, and that's Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva. It says, Amar Rabbi Hoseinu Zal, B'meshek kosev atir tshuvos ad yom bosom almanos chayos, v'chol yom ha'yodovid mitzav ha'hitiv es roshem, v'nosek tamuk v'kashem v'dir ha'hatzik ta'vosu l'achdiya, kasher yichbosh yitzro, ma'yichapro al devar bas sheva. He seems to indicate it could be both. On the one hand, you know, he couldn't remarry them. On the other hand, he took care of them in a way that he was also, you know, he would tempt himself and hold back as a form of tshuva. So that's the basic idea. Okay, so that's, so the pasuk kind of diverts back to that to indicate that the Sheva ben Bichri thing doesn't have him all that nervous.
One other thing. I thought Avshalom only slept with one. Why all ten?
Why did you think only one?
I don't know why I thought that. Am I incorrect in that thought?
I think you're incorrect.
Okay. I thought it was only one.
So now he decides to start to take care of this problem. Vayomer hamelech al Amasa hazek li es ish Yehuda shoshes yamim v'ata po'amod. So Amasa, if you don't remember, was the general for Avshalom, and in order to make peace, David Hamelech offers him to be a general in his army. And that's Avshalom, no hard feelings. You're gonna, I'll make you the general here. We can move on.
Is he the one that was David's general before who moved over to Avshalom?
Well, he was with David. He moved over, correct?
He came back.
Right, and he said, listen. He said, listen, I'm offering you to come back. Again, during the war, Yoav was the general for David, and Amasa was the general for Avshalom. He says, listen, let's make it up. Come on back. Bygones be bygones. So he said, okay, I want you to take care of this. You've got a matter of 3 days. Go and find some people and go quash this rebellion. And he went, and 3 days later he wasn't back yet. Missed the deadline. So he said, okay, I'll get someone else. Vayom David al Avishai, ato yerav adu sheva ben bichri, min avshalom, ato kachas avde, adonecho dof acharav, pen motza bo arim vitzu also vihitzilein enu. So listen, this could turn out being worse than the last one. We can't play around. Let's get to work. Go get some people, and let's go get him before he goes and forgets some walled cities and ends up hiding out there. It's going to be bad. Amasa hasn't come back. Avishai, it's your job. Okay, Avishai and Yoav are brothers, right? They're both Bnei Tzruya, and they are cousins of David. Vayetzu achrav anshe Yoav v'hakresi v'haplesi v'chol ha'gibar v'yetzu v'yushalayim v'rdof achrei sheva v'bichri. So okay, with that, besides the people sent out, Yoav takes his people also, and the sword people and the archers, etc., and they're also going after sheva v'bichri. Hemi ma'evan ha'gadolo asher b'givom v'amasa b'lifneyem v'yoav v'chogor midol v'rusho. As Yoav is going out to fight this battle, who does he run into? Son of a gun, it's Amasas. He's finally coming back. And Nach tells us that he is, in fact, he has a sword with him, as you would expect. And it's sitting there in its holster. And he comes down to greet him. Vayomer Yoav Amasa, ha-shalom ata achi. Atochas Yad Yabin Yoav is kind of Amasa min Ashekom. He says to him, hey, is that you? It's great to see you. He reaches out and grabs his beard with his right hand in order to give him a kiss. He pulls his face towards him. With that, Amasa isn't paying attention. Yoav pulls out the sword and stabs him in the fifth rib, and his guts spill out on the street, and he drops dead at that point.
That seems really a far-out accident.
No, it wasn't. It was done on purpose, actually.
So he's actually trying to kill him.
Yes, and he's being quite successful.
Yeah, no, I see that, but I'm saying, how does it seem like, how do you accidentally...
It wasn't an accident.
Okay.
He did it purposely, no doubt about it. Why did he do it purposely?
Yeah,
so one could sit back and say, listen, he was the general. David HaMelech takes the enemy's general and is giving the enemy's general his job, it's understandable he'd be less than happy with this.
Okay.
Gemara doesn't say that, though.
Okay.
But that's one explanation.
Let's right. talk about the Gemara.
So the Gemara says as
well. Well, again, had he showed up on time, this would have been a non-issue, correct?
Had Woody gone right to the police, this would have never happened.
Got it. So it feels like, as you read the story, it's because he was late and therefore
so that's what the Gemara
suspect
says.
And
the Gemara says, right, my tama katli lamsa. Why? So they ask Yoav, why did he kill Amasa? He was a rebel. Where's he? The Ksiv. Yom Melcha Amasa Hazek Li as Ish Yehuda Shloshes Yomim. He said, come back in 3 days. And he went down. He did not come back in 3 days. He did not listen to what the king said, and therefore he is liable for the death penalty, as any other rebel. Listen, this was important. We needed to get the army together to attack Sheva ben Bichri. This guy is twiddling his thumb. That's a rebellion, and therefore he deserves to be put to death. So the Gemara says, Amar le Amasa achim v'rakin daish. Why haven't Ashkechinu the pasuk lulu rabbi mesechta? Amar kol isha sheyamer espicho yoro yishma estvecho chol ashet zven yomos yocho afil divrei Torah tarok rak chazak ve'ematz. He said, well, why was he in fact late? He said, he went to get the people from the army, so they were learning Torah. He said, I don't want to disturb them, they're learning Torah. So in fact, there is a drasha that, you know, if someone's middle of learning, you don't call him out to war. So that's why he was late. So that was the end of the explanation.
Is that a legitimate reason?
So it is a legitimate reason, actually. And therefore, Yoav technically was liable for this action.
So he killed him for
however,
no good reason.
However, they did not put Yoav to death at this point because, you know, he thought he was doing it for a good reason. He really thought the guy was 3 days.
Well, the guy delayed. He thought he was doing that for a good reason, too.
Right. So
he didn't even hear him out. He just killed him.
Right. So again, eventually, if we ever make it to Malachim, so that is the end of Yoav, where he gets his for this eventually, just not at this point. And in fact, the Gemara goes on to explain. Yet there's no rave. And Amasal Nishma Bechera Shaviyad Yoav Amaro Shelo Chashadav. He didn't think for a second that anything was going to happen here. He didn't. He thought Yoav was a good guy. He didn't suspect he was going to do anything. Next thing you know. So, that's the end of Amasa. Now, let's get the scene here. You have Avishai and Yoav are both going on their way. They are followed by their people. And the general is lying here with his guts spilled out on the floor. So, what's the soldier supposed to think here?
In trouble.
So they go on their way. V'isha matalav minare Yoav, v'yomer, mi asher chafetz v'yov, mi asher v'david achre Yoav. He said, whoever supports Yoav or whoever supports David should follow Yoav. V'amosu misgogel b'dam, b'adom, b'socha mesila, v'yar ha'ish ki amai kol ha'am, v'yaseves amosu min ha'mesila ha'sodeh, v'yashalech olav beged, kasher ha'al kol ha'bo olav ha'amad. Finally, someone goes over, moves him to the side of the road, and covers him with some sort of blanket. Because people were very confused here. Wait a second, what just happened here? So they make an announcement. Listen, whether you're happy with Yoav or not, we've got a war to fight. And with that, they move the body to the side, that, you know, nobody should see what happened in the ranks in the back. We should go on. Okay, and that's the end of Amasa. Kashir Hoga min Amasil Avar Kol Ish Achrei Yoav Lirdof Achrei Sheva Bichri. It's okay, now Yoav is leading the charge against Sheva ben Bichri. Vaya Avor V'Kol Shifte Yisrael Avelo V'Veis Macho V'Kol HaBeirim V'Yikahu V'Yikahalu V'Yavo Afra Achram. And as they're going, they're picking up more and more people on the way. And these are the various cities that they stopped in. And by the time they get there, they have a significant force. Okay, finally they find the city he's in. It's a walled city. It has a double wall around it, actually. And in order to attack, first thing they do is they create a ramp, and they go over the first wall, and now they're about to bang down the second wall and get him and kill him. And of course, they're going to kill anyone who's going to protect him.
Vatikra isho chachamo min ha'ir. Shimu, imri na, imru na el Yoav. Krav ad hein vada roi lecha.
a wise woman calls out and says, Yoav, come over here, I'd like to have a few words with you. Vayikra ve'lev atom ha'isha, ata Yoav. Vayomer ani, vatom ha'lo, shema divrei amasecha, vayomer shomei anochi. You Yoav? Yeah, I'm Yoav. Listen what I have to say. He says, I'm all ears. Vatomer le'mor, da'ber yidabru barishano le'mor, sho'ol yisharu ba'evel v'chein he'samu. So what's going on here? Shouldn't you first be, before you attack, offer us peace? Why don't you say what the problem is and maybe we can work something out? Why exactly are you already banging down our walls? You got problems? Let's talk a little bit. We can work it out. Anochi shlume emune Yisrael. Atam evakesh rahamit ir ve'ein b'Yisrael. Oma tevava nachas haroi. I am here. One of the, we'll have to translate the words later, but one of the elders of Israel, why exactly are you trying to destroy Israeli cities? Israeli cities are good, we like to have them. Vayomer Yoav, Vayan Yoav Vayomar, Chalil Chalili, Imavala Vimashchis. And I have no interest in destroying. Ochein Adavar, Ki Ish Meharafayim Shavi Ben Bichri Shimon, Nasa Yadav Mel David, Tenu Oso Levado, Velchame Ahoyir. So I'm just looking for one guy. You give me the guy, I go home. She said, stand on the outside of the wall and get ready to catch his head. She goes, she has a few words. Out comes the head. Everybody goes home happy. A fascinating story. A few questions are obvious here. One is, who is this woman?
Right.
Yeah. Why do we have to be free again?
What? He rebelled. He rebelled. He got the entire Israel to go against David.
Is he a general?
Not a particularly good one, if he is one.
But someone that people looked up to.
Okay. So he was a successful rabble-rouser.
Okay. All right.
So the question is, who is this woman and what happened here? There's a lot to say about this. So this woman is a famous woman. We'll look at the Medrash, number 9, who spells this out. This is something that's generally agreed upon. Davar acha, tova chach vezu v'chach maso shel serach bas osher, mikri kar v'kri kirbo shel Yoav. In learning out a pasuk in Koheles, it says, the wisdom of Serach, the daughter of Osher, is better than all of the strength of Yoav. So he was far away and he got called over by her. So this is her. Who was Serach bas Asher? So Serach bas Asher was the daughter of
Asher.
Very good.
The Asher.
If you open up Parshas Vayigash and they list the 70 people who went down,
right,
one of them is Serach bas Asher.
She's old.
Darn old. Really
old.
They list women?
What? Did they list women? Well, they list very few women.
Okay.
Right? Two come to mind, basically.
Sarah.
And?
Yocheved and Asher.
Yocheved, right? Yeah. Those are the only two that make the list. What was so special about Serach bas Asher?
Well, why isn't she considered then a prophetess or something? I'm surprised she's not.
Oh, where's the prophecy?
Well, I don't know that she had enough wisdom to know. I guess it's just wisdom, not...
Right, she's
not
wicked prophet. Smart, but no prophecy involved there.
Knife.
Right,
wicked
so...
Wicked smart.
So, Serach, as we know, so Serach, the Medrash tells us that when they found out that Yosef was still alive, someone had to break the news to Yaakov.
Yeah.
And he had to break the news to him in a way that he wouldn't have a coronary.
She supposedly sang to him.
Correct. It reminds me of the famous joke. There's an old woman who goes upstairs, and there's a guy who's upstairs who's a psychologist, and she says to him, I got some news. I just found out my husband won the lottery. He won $10 million. But I'm nervous to tell him because, you know, he could have a heart attack. You know, you're a professional. How do I do this? He said, I'll do it. So, you know, he got He's a shmata dealer. Comes down there and he says, Moshe, I got a question for you. What would you do if I told you you won $100? Oh, if I won $100, oh, I'd pay back some of the chayvus I have. You know, I catch up. So, what if I told you I have $1,000? Ooh, I'd restock everything in the cart. What about $10,000? If I had $10,000, I'd get a new cart. I'd really move. How about $100,000? $100,000? If I had $100,000, I'd open a store. How about $1,000,000? $1,000,000, I'd open a chain of stores. What if I told you you won $10 million? And if I won $10 million, I'd keep half, I'd give half to you. Psychologist has a heart attack and drops dead.
Good story.
So that was the concern by Yaakov Avinu. So Sarah used her wisdom to slowly break him the news, and he was able to take it. Because of that, she was blessed with an exceedingly long life.
Really long.
Right, and this is it. This is the same Sarah.
She so, had no idea.
What? So how old is she now?
I'm saying she wasn't friendly with the people who are. Everyone died in that generation except for Yoshua and...
All the women.
And all the women.
But she probably got, they probably got her on that one.
Okay.
Right. So, there you have it. So, she was... just do the math. What?
400.
At least, I mean, we got put down 210 years in Egypt. She went down.
Oh, she went down also.
Right.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And it's
how
many
years now? 610.
Right. And
so
then,
she's really old.
Yeah. And then 40.
But she does look a day over 580.
So, is she older than Methuselah?
Not at this point, she's not.
Okay.
But give her a few years, she catches him.
Okay.
Leaves him in her dust. So. That's the story. So that's who we're talking about.
Wow.
Note number one. So what does she say to him? Vayikra v'rev, atom v'rev, lo atahu Yoav? Aren't you, are you the Yoav? Kotzer at les at l'fum shemecha? Lo at ben Torah, v'ro David ben Torah? Aren't you someone who's supposed to be someone who's learned? Isn't David supposed to be learned? Lo k'sib b'torah ki sikra v'l'ir l'hilachem rev v'karas l'rev v'shalom? Doesn't the Pasuk in the Devarim say that when you come out to war, you're supposed to first offer peace? Shavu melchamed iksiv atomer reymor davei dabru barishonov echein heitamu armelo ad kan tamu divrei Torah rolish rolish kaim. So armelo vaat man amra lo man ana anochi shromei emun Yisrael. And who's telling this? I, me, shromei emun Yisrael. Why she calls Shlomi? Ani hu shashiram de minyanim shel Yisrael Mitzrayim. I was one of the original 70.
How many people can say that?
70. That's such a tricky question. Right there with Washington's
exactly.
White horse. But at this point,
and who are alive today?
At this point, one. Okay, that's
okay.
Anihushayishramti Neman Yosef Neman Moshe. I am the one who lived the time from Yosef to Moshe. And you are going to tell me that you're going to wipe out a city, including a mother of Israel? You're going to wipe out the city and you're going to kill me? You nuts?
I don't think so.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. So we would never do this. So he says, no, there was this guy named Shevin Bichu, who you're aware of, who messed with the king David. Now, of course, the king is David. Why do you have to say both? In b'melech, rama b'david, in b'david, rama b'melech. Why didn't you just say he did David? He did the king. Why both? Amr Rav Azai, Rav Yochanan, b'Rav Chagi. B'shem Rav Yitzchak, bar Marion, Ram Tzach, Shekol, ha-mei is part of the Talmid Chum, v'gobel hador, ki u-mei is part of the melech. If you mess up with Talmid Chum, it's as if you're messing with the king. This isn't anybody. This guy's messing with David, who's the king. He's also the Gadol Hador, the number one Talmud Chacham. Look who he's messing with. So he says, Amar Rav Yudan Kol May is part of Melchiel, May is part of Bishrina. If you're going to deal bad with the king, as if you're dealing bad with God. Maybe the Melch here is referring to God himself. Give to me and we'll leave. He said, why does he deserve to be killed? He said because he's messing with Machlas Beis David. You mess with Machlas Beis David, you get killed. The other way he said, oh, I'm b'chach masa. He said, okay, I'm going to take care of this. So how does she take care of this? I'm alone. Less ason Shimon be Yoav. But less ason Shimon be David. Hey, the Uma come to Bahon. Hey, the Machlas come to Bahon. I'm one of me and my boy. He said, listen, here's the story. We've got Yoav here on behalf of David, and they're looking for something. I'm alone. Elach the Gurvim. They want 1,000 people. I want to call Bar Nosh Yaev from Adi Israel. Say, okay, I want you to give us over 1,000 people. I'm alone on the Azan Faisal. So he said, tell you what, she said, let me see if I can knock the number down a little bit. I'm gonna negotiate with them. Then we have a process of the Gurma Azul Asya. So she said, okay, I'm gonna go. She comes back. I'm alone. Chamesha Meon Hudabai. Okay, I got him down to 500 people. We just gotta give over 500 people and they'll leave. Obviously she goes back and forth like this until the point she says, okay. Sheva ben Bichri.
One guy.
And they say, bargain. Gone and done.
And just his head.
That's it. This is a very, very important story from a halachic point of view.
Why?
Because the question comes as follows. Let's say a town is surrounded by enemies who say, give us over a person or else we're going to kill you all. Do you ever give over a person?
Unless they say who it is.
So this is the place where we discuss it. Again, this unfortunately happened in Nazi Germany. We know somebody bombed the trains. This is the guy we're looking for. You either hand them over or we're going to wipe out the city. What are you supposed to do?
I thought we're not supposed to.
So let's see what the Tosefta thinks. The Tosefta, number 10, says, Siyah shal b'nei Adam, sh'omer lehem goyim, tu'onu echam michem v'nargeyu, v'im lav harenu nehorgim es kolchem, yargo kula val yimso lehem nefesh achas mi'Yisrael. First of all, if a bunch comes up and says, give over one of these guys so we can kill you, or we're going to kill you all, we don't give over anybody. Bet you kill us all, we never give over a Jew. Aval, im yichdu lehem, if they don't say give us anybody, but say we want that guy over there, we're going to kill you all, then you give over that guy. How do we know? From here. This is the proof. If they ask random, you pick a guy. Well,
Stam.
Right? You give a sense of volunteer, no deal. But we want that guy, it works. That's opinion number one.
So can I ask you sort of a heretical question? How do we know that what she did was appropriate? That's Masora, or
he named her. He named him to her.
No, the question is
maybe what she did was totally wrong. Why are we saying this is our source case for saying that that's appropriate?
Right. I understand.
Right. So one would imagine if David Yoav and her did something wrong, we would have heard about it in the Navi.
Okay.
It wouldn't have just gone by.
Also, it sounds like her negotiation was a tactic, basically. That she knew who Yoav was after, but she didn't say that initially. She negotiated, and then finally to the one guy. Although I'm imposing what I think happened based on this commentary.
Mm-hmm. So let's finish this actually first. Okay. Amar of Yehuda, v'midvarim omrim b'zmanshu b'fneim v'hein b'chutz av b'zmanshu hu b'fneim v'hein b'fneim hoel. So listen, if the guy is among them, he says, and they ask for the guy, inevitably you should give him over because he's going to get killed one way or the other. Just a simple logic here. Right? There's 10 of us here. They want that guy. They're either going to kill him or they're going to kill us all, including him. If he's in hiding and he's going to make getaway, then we have to give up our lives. But he's going to get it anyhow. So he says, no, you learn nothing from here. Because why? They should have killed him. He was a rebel.
You mean the people of the town?
Right. So therefore that...
And then they did.
What?
And they did.
Right, but they did. You can't learn from here from a general case.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because this was a case where they said, listen, Yoav kind of said, I shouldn't be wasting my time with this. You guys should be taking care of this.
Right.
That's the Tosefta. Yerushalmi has a different take on it. Yerushalmi number 11 says as follows. Tani, Siyas b'ne'el shiyum ha'alchim b'derach ufogu lahem goyim. V'amru, t'nu lanu echad mi'chem v'nargo osav, v'im lav hari'anu hargim es kulchem. Same story. People traveling, he says, either give us one over or we kill you all. So far we have agreement. If unless they give a name, everybody dies. Yichdu lahem, echad, kagon sheva ben bichri, yimsu osaval yargu. If they in fact say a certain guy, like the case of Sheva ben Bichri, you give him over, you'll get killed. Amar Shimon ben Lakish, v'hush yechayev misa k'Sheva ben Bichri. He says, on the condition that he's supposed to be killed, this guy. You only give him over if he is in fact culpable for the death penalty. If he's not culpable for the death penalty, even if it means everyone gets killed, you still don't give him over. Rabbi Yochanan Amar af al pi she'eino chayev misa k'Sheva ben Bichri. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. They want this guy, whether he deserves it or not, you still give him over.
Based on?
What?
Why?
Well, again, you can't understand the logic.
Right. I can't understand the logic.
You can't?
No.
There's 10 people. You say, give us all over. One, you give us number 3 over, we can kill all 10 of you. So number 3 is dead either way.
So it seems to me the same logic as 10, then the same as 11.
So again, right now we have right here. It's broken down into a machlokes. We have a disagreement between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish.
It still seems to come out the same way.
Right. So again, one could definitely argue that one opinion says, listen, they ask for the guy, it says no matter what. The other one says no, only if he's liable for the death penalty. Obviously, this came up often in the Holocaust, and there is a lot more to be said about this beyond this. For example, okay, so they go and they ask for a guy, and that guy is liable. He's not liable.
In the Holocaust.
They want that guy.
These people.
They want the following people. Okay? Is there any requirement that that person give himself in and save the other people?
I don't think.
Is it not the same difference?
Why wouldn't you do the same thing? Because he has the same... Israel would have to kill someone else. I'm not allowed to commit suicide.
You can't commit suicide. That is correct. On the other hand, you're a dead person.
If they can get their hands on me.
Right.
Right.
What would you say about
how about falling on a grenade?
What? Are you asking? People do that.
Yeah. Is that
they
proper?
They sacrifice themselves.
Is that proper?
So Esther yes. Hamalko.
She didn't physically, she didn't spiritually.
Yeah, so. That has to be okay.
Is it a good thing?
I don't know.
Well, it's good for the people that get saved.
Right. So again, the person now goes up to the pearly gates. Okay. Now, do they say you committed suicide? Get out of here. Or they said,
you just saved
X amount of people. Right. How wonderful.
Well, presumably, if you fell on the grenade, he would have been dead anyway.
No, he doesn't have to.
He could grab his neighbor stuck in front of him,
Okay.
That probably would work also.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So again, that all kind of revolves around this whole story of Sheva ben Bichri.
Well, I'm feeling confused. Am I supposed to throw myself on the grenade? Or am I supposed to give myself up just because they name me and want me? Because that is what happened a lot during the Holocaust.
Right.
They called out these names, those people, and they were never heard from again.
Right. So.
Well, once we knew that, why would anyone sacrifice themselves like that?
Because if they start shooting people until that person comes forward.
Well, I'm saying that's a hard one, because if you give yourself up.
I mean, if we deal with hypotheticals, what do you say about this one? I got a shot. I could kill Hitler. And I know as soon as I get my first shot off, they're going to kill me dead.
Right.
Totally fine.
I'd take the shot.
I highly encourage it.
Right. I'd have taken the shot.
Okay. Because you would, the logic being
the greater good.
Let me state the obvious, because
right.
The amount of lives that will be saved.
Right. Give up my life to save others.
Okay, so.
But that's
how about
not
falling
really
on the grenade?
So
how about giving yourself up when they ask for you?
Well, I guess then it's not considered suicide.
Well, maybe it is considered suicide.
Well, that's where it gets murky for me. That doesn't feel like suicide to me. Exactly.
But I mean,
it feels like sacrifice. It feels like martyrology.
That's a great word. Did you just make that up?
Martyrology?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I thought it was martyrdom.
I always heard it as martyrology.
Okay, that definitely has more points in a triple word score.
Thank you. Patty said that.
Right. So you know. So this is the issue here. Right now, it is assumed that what they did by giving over Sheva ben Bichri was correct. Right? And the reason it was correct was either because he was named, or because he was deserving of the death penalty.
Yeah, right, well, he was certainly the second.
Right. Again. So again. But if the whole reason was because of the second, right? Then we can't expand it to a case of where they just ask for the person who does, who isn't. Right.
That doesn't work. If someone's deserving of the death penalty halachically, you don't just like drop them in, you know,
somebody's
East
hands.
Harlem and say, you know, good luck, buddy. I mean, there's a process.
Correct. But again, on the other hand. That's why we have editing programs.
We're out of time.
You're so bad.
Right. So, you know, on the other hand, you're definitely not going to go, this is not the death penalty of choice. However, it's hardly unlikely that we're going to go and try to save the fellow at the cost of other lives at this point, right, which is exactly what's going on here. Right, so again, so this is the main source. And then, of course, the spin-offs of it become these issues of at what point are you encouraged to give up your life to save others? Are you allowed to give your life to save others? Right? I mean, once you're taking it down the road, okay, once I'm going from giving over my life to, you know, to falling on the grenade to taking a pot shot at Hitler, right, you know, how about donating...
Participating in medical research.
Donating a kidney.
Giving your body over.
Well, donating a kidney is not a death.
Right,
that's correct. I'm
right,
saying
right.
giving
I'm saying
your body.
That place where you when it seem to be obvious at that point, right? Again, I'm giving a lot less right. in that case.
Yeah, well, that's not the total. That's not the ultimate sacrifice to give a kidney.
Right, but I'm saying if I'm required to make the ultimate sacrifice, how much more so I should be required to give a kidney?
Right,
because that doesn't even require.
Right.
Right, I'm saying that
kidney is small price.
Chump change.
Not that it's nothing, but it's a small price compared to the ultimate.
Right, so the idea is once you've got this, you know, it's very hard to draw lines because walking in here, I don't think people would say that person's obligated to give a kidney to somebody else.
Generally not. People don't say that.
Right, you know, and once you come from this angle, you find yourself almost saying that.
Almost.
So you're saying that if mm-hmm. other people... are allowed to give him over, that means that person himself
right, again, so again,
is obligated to give himself over. Those are two different...
Again, I'm saying that even if they're not allowed to, one could make the argument that he should be giving himself over.
Isn't it the same argument? If I'm obligated to give him over, he should be obligated to give himself over.
No, but I'm saying, what if I'm not obligated to give him over? I'm obligated to give him my life. All 30 of us have to die for this guy. Is this guy, however, on his own, is even though we can't give him over, should he be encouraged to take the initiative?
Wait, but I'm not obligated to give myself over because he's liable to the death penalty. We're not.
Right, but again, do you realize that you're costing 30 people their lives? Rightfully or wrongfully.
If we don't give him over...
Again, the guy who falls on the grenade isn't deserving of the death penalty.
That's correct. He's not.
Right? And still, we applaud when he does that.
Correct.
So why should this person giving himself over to save the 30 people be any different than the guy falling on the grenade?
Because this guy doesn't want to go out.
Well, I don't think the guy from the grenade wanted to go out either. I don't think that was his plan going into today.
You think they're the same? They're the same. They're two different sides of the same coin. It doesn't feel the same way to me. Mm-hmm. One is self-sacrifice. The other one is guy hiding in the city, basically hoping no one will find him there. Well, surprise, surprise, we do know where he is, and we're after him.
Right. Okay. But
it's a.
But
it's
why a, do you? But you. But again, but your argument is sort of reversed. Your argument is saying that. How much more so, right, the guy should give himself in rather than fall on the grenade. The guy falling on the grenade, you know, he
right.
did nothing to bring this.
Right, he's not obligated in any way to give up his life.
Right, so again, we're on 5 minutes here, so let's bring it home, as they say. We'll just quickly mention that there's a nice piece by the Brisker Rav, as we have here. He discusses again the issue, what's going on here. Zeh the taina ha'ishri yov, the amnam shev ben brichi havi yichiduhu. וגם הוא מוריד במלכס חיים מיסה אם לא ימסו ימוסו כולם מקום מקום נוח ישרום אמוני ישראל So they said, listen, we're going to kill you all. She said, well, listen, you know who you're talking about? I'm Nogim Yachasid, I'm Nogim Emiras Chasidus. And then Emiras Chasidus, Em Rumus are Afi Yechidos of Chayamisa. So wait a second, she said that even though you might be right, but I'm a very religious woman, and I would never give over a person. Even in a case like this, I would sooner give up my life. Kushagrach Omerz, and Reb Chaim said, the Shogul is going to be Baruch Ber. Im Kain, Ma Anova Yoav. So what did Yoav answer to that? Said, no, that even if in general you are going to be Machmer, that even in general you'll never give over a Jewish soul, in this case, for the sake of Malchus Beis David, you don't have a right to be Machmer. This is a whole different ballgame.
Right.
Well, from there, wouldn't you see that a regular case, the guy shouldn't give himself up because he still has the responsibility to fight for his own life?
Again, the idea is, the question is, it really does seem to be a similarity between falling on the grenade. Sometimes. You could turn around to me and say, no, I'll fall on the grenade.
But it says it seems like
no one's tried that one yet.
Menachasidus to not hand over the person.
Right. I'd sooner give over my life than to hand over the person. Minun chasidus, that I'll sooner let 30 people die so I can survive. That's what we call a chasid shota, perhaps.
I wasn't saying that it'd be minun chasidus for the guy himself to not come over. No. I'm saying you see from the fact that for everyone else, it's minun chasidus to not give him over. Perhaps he doesn't have it. At least he wouldn't have an obligation to give him over.
Right, again, obligation he clearly doesn't have. But
also, it would be one thing if Bishli said, okay, I'm going to give myself up, like he... He does it in an honorable way, but you don't get that impression at all from the text.
Right. No, he wasn't offering.
Right.
He wasn't an upstanding individual. Either.
Right. He's not
wasn't.
A good guy.
Okay, I'm going to read the last few psukim here just to say we finished.
Yes.
Okay, we're up to Klap Gimel v'Yoav El Kol Atzava Yisrael v'Nayo Ben Yehuda Al Kresi V'Al Plesi. So we're just going to now go through a list of who are the players at this point. And Yoav is in charge of the general now, but Yoav and Yehoyada, who there's a lot to talk about, he's in charge of the Kresi Uplesi. Went to the Gemara, that means he was the Rosh Sanhedrin. But Adoram al-Hamas, the Yehoshaphat ben Achilud Hamas here, and Adoram, who's also an interesting fellow, we hear more about him later on, is in charge of taxes. Yehoshaphat ben Achilud is the secretary. Ushiva Sofer, Utsadok Yosa Kohanim.
So what happened to Abishai?
What?
What happened to Avishai?
He's a major player, but he's not the general. He's a general. Begam Ira Yara Yara Kohen David. And there were two Kohanim Gedolim. One was Tzadok, another Yosar, and there was another Kohen B'Yada named Yairi. What's so exciting? There was another Kohen. There's probably a lot more Kohanim. Probably a lot of Aliyahs to go around. So the Gemara in Erevin just happens to talk about it a little bit. Number 13, Amar of Abba Bar Zavda. Kohan Nosin Matanosel Kohen Echa Mevi Rav Olam. When a person has a field, he has to give certain gifts to the Kohanim. He has to give truma, he has to give bikurim, etc. You're supposed to spread the wealth. If you give it over to only one person, the Gemara tells us this leads to famine in the world. How do we know that? Shinamar, Ira Yori Haya Kohen LeDavid. He was David's Kohen. LeDavid, who have a Kohen? Only David's. He went and he gave him gifts. What's the next thing that we see? And there was a famine, and that's where we're going to pick up next week.
We're here, 7:15, 7. What are we?
I think.